Hi there, boys and girls. Here we go again, ready for another Children's Bible Club meeting. Pull up a chair and turn up the radio so you can hear well, because we have a good story, a true Bible story. Did you ever try to play a trick on someone? Did you ever try to fool someone or make them believe something that was not true, something that would hurt them or get them into big trouble? Well, I hope not. But that's what happened in today's story, and it made for trouble big time. But don't let me get ahead of myself. Hold that thought till story time, because right now the choir is revved up to sing. Listen up, choir.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deep.
Thank you, choir. Sit tight now, because we'll be ready for you to sing again in just a few minutes. Say, kids, do you have a penny in your pocket? Maybe it's one Mom gave you or one you found on the street. Do you know whose picture is on it? In Bible days, a penny had a picture of Julius Caesar on it. Today, American pennies have a picture of Abraham Lincoln. Sometimes somebody will say, "A penny for your thoughts." But I hope your thoughts are worth more than a penny. They are if you're thinking about the Bible. But pennies are more important. One penny may not buy much, but a stack of them can have great value. With a small stack, you might be able to buy some candy, which would make you happy. But with a big stack, you might be able to give to the Lord to help a missionary on the mission field. You don't have to wait until you grow up or have lots of money. You can give to the Lord's work right now with your pennies or dimes or dollars or however much you have. The important thing is that you have a heart of love for the Lord and willingly give Him your offering. Yes, you can give of your money, large or small, but better still is to give yourself, your whole life to the Lord for His service, for whatever He would have you do. Paul said in Romans, "I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. So kids, shake off this world and its many detractions, and give yourself wholly to the Lord. And sing with the choir now before story time. After the great victory at Ai, the Israelites built an altar on Mount Ebal. They offered burnt offerings and peace offerings in gratitude to God. Joshua wrote God's law on the altar stones and then read the law to the people. Victory drove God's people to his word. Now, no such victory and praise to God went unnoticed by the devil. No. He meant to oppose God's people and use the heathen people of surrounding lands to do it. When they heard of all of Israel's victories, they were afraid their cities would be destroyed also. Instead of humbling themselves and seeking to know the God of heaven, they rebelled. They united to form one giant army to fight. They would crush Israel. But the citizens of the city of Gibeon weren't in that union. Gibeon was a very great royal city. Its men were mighty, but they were very afraid. So they devised a very clever plan. This is what happened. One day, Joshua looked up from his work and saw a scraggly-looking band of people coming toward camp. The closer they came, the worse they looked. Their donkeys' sacks were ragged, their leather wine bottles were cracked and patched, their shoes were so old and worn they were tied on their feet, and their clothes were in shreds. Poor souls! All they had to eat was dry, moldy bread. What a pitiful state they were in! Yet they were anxious to get to Joshua. They came with an urgent mission. Joshua and the Israelites wanted to know what they wanted. In dry, weak, weary voices, the Gibeonites said, "Oh, sirs, we are bone-tired from traveling, but our mission is urgent. We've come to make a peace treaty with the great people of Israel." Shocked at such a bedraggled sight, Joshua asked, "Who are you and where are you from?" "Oh," they replied humbly, "we are from a far country. We are your servants." The sly deceivers never answered his question directly. And Joshua said, "Wait a minute. Who are you? Where are you from? How do we know you're from a faraway country?" "Why, can't you tell by looking at us? We left home with much food for our journey. But look." And they opened their threadbare bags. "See, this moldy bread was hot from the oven when we left home, and these old leaky leather wine bottles were new, and our clothes and shoes were new, too. But look at them now. We've come to represent our city and make a league with Israel. If you will be our friends and allies, we will be your servants." Their story was so convincing that Joshua and his men talked it over, shared their food, and made a peace treaty with the strangers. They made a league with God's enemies and let them live. Perhaps Joshua felt a little soft and didn't want to offend them. Perhaps he forgot that fearing and obeying God was more important than friendship with men. But 3 days later, Joshua discovered that these so-called allies were not from a far country at all. They were from Gibeon, only a few miles away. Oh, no! Joshua was heartsick. He had made a league with God's enemies. He had fallen for their act and believed their lies. He'd been had. If only he'd stopped to pray and seek God. He had taken time to talk with the enemy. He had taken time to consult his leaders, but he hadn't taken time to inquire of the Lord. He had utterly failed. So when Israel came to Gibeon, instead of conquering the city, they spared all the people. Some Israelites were very angry then, but Joshua wouldn't break his promise. Yes, the Gibeonites had lied and deceived, but Joshua had promised. He had to honor his word. Two wrongs wouldn't make a right. He couldn't let the Gibeonites get away with their trickery, though. He rebuked them sharply. "You lied and deceived us. Because I made a league with you, we must spare your lives, but you will work and be our servants. You will have to cut and haul wood for our sacrifices, and you will have to draw and haul water for the house of our God." The Gibeonites were just glad to be alive. From then on, when the Israelites moved, they moved too, chopping wood and hauling water. For generations, as they saw the Gibeonites work, Israel had to live with the constant reminder of their sin, self-will, and prayerlessness. So it is with us, boys and girls. If we rely on our own decisions and abilities instead of seeking the Lord, we too will fall into the devil's trap, which leads to ruin in this life and the destruction of our soul. "Be not high-minded, but fear," Romans says. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." As lost sinners, we must first bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sin, confess our sin, and receive him as our only Savior. Then, as Christians, we must study God's word and pray so the Lord can direct our lives. God is faithful. Jude 24 says, "If we seek him, he will keep us from falling." And now, God bless you.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.